What up, what up, what up, world? It is your boy, Polo Pool, the host of the Man Stash Podcast. And welcome back. This is season two of the Man Stash Podcast. And this episode is called Where Have I Been? Depression Drive. So this episode is going to be all inclusive in regards to where I've been for this long hiatus, what I've been up to, what are the possibilities with this podcast or many other business ventures, and more importantly, why I've been gone for so long. So without further ado, let's get into it. Bow.
Mashtas Podcast.
What up, what up, world? This is your host, Polo Pool, back once again with the Man Stash Podcast, and this is Season 2, Episode 1, Where Have I Been? Depression Drive. Now, ladies and gentlemen, kings and queens and stashes out there, I would like for you guys to share, like, and subscribe to this podcast. You can go onto my Instagram account, The Man Stash Podcast, or you can email me, all one word, themanstashpodcast@gmail.com. But without further ado, let's go ahead and get into this episode. So, man, where have I been? I'm sorry, it's been a long, long time and a long overdue process. I've been dealing with a lot of things personally and professionally. Not saying like my world have been flipped upside down, but I've had a whirlwind of a journey that led me to this point right here to talk and give you some dope information, content, and insight into just black fatherhood or just the black male perspective. And yeah, like I said, you know, just a whirlwind of a lot of things that I've just been going through. I've just been going here, there, running, working, aimlessly tired. Days, weeks without any type of sleep. But I would just like to say, first and foremost, I am A-okay and everything is all right. But my long hiatus was due to depression. I'm a big advocate for mental health and mental health awareness, and I wouldn't be me and I wouldn't be real and sincere with you guys unless I was truthful with myself. And that's what I've been suffering from. And with that, it encompasses so much. It's such a heavy illness and circumstance and situation that hundreds and thousands and millions and billions of people suffer from on a day-to-day basis, or maybe within like a cycle. But for me, my personal experience is kind of like just driving down the road. You might run into some obstacles, whether it's like a roadblock, maybe it could be some type of construction, it could be some potholes, and some of us, you know, may charge right through. We might get a little jostled from the road being a little bit bumpy, but for me, it was a dead end. Whatever the case may be, I still don't even know to this day what led me to get into depression. Sometimes it, you know, just blindsides you. You know, you're driving down the road, you're approaching an exit where someone's coming off that exit. And for me, that depression just was in my blind spot, and it, you know, hit me and spun me out of control. And once I landed or readjusted myself to orient, you know, back onto the road to my destination, all I saw was a dead end. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know where my left and right was. I didn't know where my up and down was. I was just stuck right there in the middle of the road. And once that happened, I halted. I turned on the blinkers, if you will. And I was just seeking something. I was seeking a way out. And for me, I was stuck. And this was professionally and personally. I just was stuck, or maybe I just felt stuck. That's where my mental space and place was, in the stuck, stagnant situation and circumstance that I couldn't figure my way out of. And it was a tough, tough time. I had a lot of self-doubt. I had a lot of sadness. I just had a lot of down, you know, and rough times in my life where I just did a lot of self-reflecting, and the results or the things that I got out of it weren't so good to me. And even though I was still, you know, doing the regular 9-to-5 job, coming home, being a great dad, I'm doing the best that I can as a husband, and head of the household, I was still stuck. I was still in this pocket. And it was a really tough and daunting time for me, even on a professional level. With this podcast, creatively, I was at a mental block. I didn't even know what my next episode was going to be about. I didn't know what the content was going to be about. I didn't know the trajectory, even though I've written out a, you know, super extensive business plan and content model for this podcast and platform. Ladies and gentlemen, I was just going through a rough, rough time. But the reason why I have this episode is to ensure and let you guys know that you guys are getting not only the real me, but the sincere me. And I know that I'm not the only person suffering from this, but I want to be the voice of people that suffer from this and keep it from friends, families, loved ones, and significant others. Because, you know, contrary to popular belief, we like to suffer in silence. We like to, shut off and shelter ourselves in isolation and try to deal with it. One, I know that we don't like to burden anyone else with this because it feels heavy and tough for us already. And to put it on someone else, we don't want to hurt or harm anyone else or want anyone else to feel like this. We all want to be happy, right? But when you got in this mood or in this space where it's just like just so dark and gloomy, why do we want to bring that onto anyone else? And even though we feel as though that we're dealing with it, you know, by ourselves, unfortunately, it adversely affects everyone else. Just think of like a pebble thrown in a lake. That ripple effect of that depression just created a crater of ripples and waves that permeated through that lake of your circle of friends, your circle of family, your close loved ones, intimate friends or associates. And the biggest thing is they all see it. They see these little things and maybe not confront it because they might not, you know, think it is just that. They might think, oh, you know, they probably just had a long day. They might just be stressed out about X, Y, and Z. Oh, X, Y, and Z is coming up. And, you know, they try to justify your actions and reasoning through, you know, common, you know, colloquial situations and circumstances. But what they don't know is that you're stuck in your own mind. You're trapped and you want to get out. You want help. You're yearning for it. And unfortunately, you don't know how to voice it out. You're either choked up on your own pride, your own ego, either being either embarrassed or someone feeling sorry for you. And you don't want that. I don't want that. Shoot. But I know for me that the only way that I was going to get out of it was to push forward. One extremely near and dear friend of mine is a licensed psychologist, and one of the things that he told me was to stay my course. Now, like I told you before, earlier within this episode, that depression is kind of like, you know, traveling down this road and you get blindsided by this vehicle, right? And for me, even though that I felt or I envisioned this roadblock in my life or in my mental space in place, it wasn't necessarily there. Sometimes you might have to investigate, why is this road closed? Is there another exit? Maybe I need to, reorient myself and see maybe I just went down the wrong way. And with that being said, there's so many tools out there and resources that are at our fingertips or at a push of a button to get us out of that funk, ladies and gentlemen. And for me, through just random acts of just going or dealing through life, I encountered a lot of things and encounters and events where I know that one, I'm not alone, and two, it's all in your head. You have to keep that positive insight or positive trajectory in regards to your thoughts to get you out of it. You just got to do it. And you know, my friend, when once he said stay my course, it wasn't that I did anything wrong or I wasn't, you know, off the road. It was just that you have that, you know, that good side and that bad side, and that bad side, you kept feeding it with your self-doubt, your negative thoughts, or just the anxiety, the angst of getting something accomplished. And when those goals and expectations weren't met at that specific time, it's because we feel as though that we're in control of certain things and situations within our lives. And one thing, once he said that I have to stay my course, I had to understand what he was saying. It wasn't that, oh, you're depressed, so stay there, or oh, you're depressed, but keep on just going through the day and you'll finally get out of it. No. What he was simply saying was that, yes, you are depressed and it's okay. What are you going to do about it? And for me, I was just like, wow, I was doing absolutely nothing, laying in bed, not eating, doing all the wrong things as far as having a healthy wellness insight and lifestyle. I was doing the exact opposite. And it was like, why? Yeah, I might be in a mood, I might be in a funk, but that doesn't mean I don't need to take a shower. Yeah, I might be dealing with this, but I still like to eat. I like to taste nice things. So, you know, you have to search for that why. You have to grasp on to those things where it's like, yeah, I do have it. Yeah, I'm dealing with it. But you got to press forward. And even though you cannot still manage to do just that, seek a friend, someone that you can, you know, confide in with no, you know, rules, no judgment, nothing. Just simply just, you know, talk at it. And you know it's going to be nothing but positivity and love and support that you need, to just that comfort. You know, sometimes you might just need a hug, but a mental hug. So you need, you know, you might have to get a nice, you know, mental brain dump. And for me, as I stated in my previous season, that therapy is that for me. Talk therapy, even with this podcast, is therapeutic because I'm getting it out. I'm getting those feelings out. And I'm not saying that there won't be any consequences or, you know, reprimand from that, because I definitely believe in, you know, with every action, there's a reaction. But since this coming from a positive place and space for me, I know that there's only going to be positivity and love being reciprocated back onto me, because again of my intent. And as we go through our day-to-day journeys, I just want you guys to know that you are loved, you are appreciated, kings and queens and stashers out there who are suffering not only from depression but any other mental disorder or illness. It's okay. It's okay to not be okay. And this is what this episode is purely and solely about. But without further ado, that was my personal spiel on, you know, me suffering from depression. But I would like to give you guys information and just educate you guys on what depression is and information on how deep depression can get. Because I feel as though in our African American community and society today, we feel as though that these mental health issues, even though that there are a label with them, it's not a stigma. And even that we do as a whole, as a community whole, we feel as though people who suffer from these things are frowned upon. But we need to be educated so that way there won't be any judgmental, or insecure family members who ridicule you or, you know, kind of shun your way or exile you to, you know, be like, oh, you know, he dealing with those issues. You know, he crazy, or, you know, she got some, you know, stuff going on with her. And that's not the dialect or dynamic that we should have amongst our friends, families, and loved ones. And I think it's more so of we fear things that we do not know or we are not educated on. And the quick thing I know for Black people is to either joke and laugh about it or totally completely ignore it. And what happens is we ignore that person along with it. We ignore that person's feelings. We ignore those people's cries for help. And that's not healthy, because we already feel as though we cannot reach out to you, or we don't feel comfortable reaching out to you because we already know what you're about to say or how you're going to feel about it. And or we have that thought of, oh, you know, that person real choosy, they real judgy, you know, in regards to X, Y, and Z. So ain't no telling what they, you know, do or say, or who they would, you know, send that information to and, you know, talk about it. So after this break, I'm going to break it down for you guys, and hopefully people that are not aware of the significance and importance of being educated in depression or any other mental illness or mental health disability or disorder, how just being educated, you might be able to help a friend or a significant other or a loved one. So I'll get back to you guys. Bye. And we back. I am your host, Polo Paul, the host of the Man Stash Podcast. And before the break, we were talking about my personal experience suffering from depression and how it correlates into just the African-American society, which I wish I could have more time to delve deep into depression with Black men. But I will ensure that I'll get that into maybe a later episode, or maybe I can answer questions if you guys reach me out on my not on my podcast, but my Instagram page, which you can just hit up on the search bar, The Man Stash Podcast, or you could just email me, all one word, themanstashpodcast@gmail.com. But without further ado, let's get into the more important things, or the more important parts of depression. So, listeners, kings, queens, and stashes out there, did you guys know that there are actually 5 types of sub-disorders of depression? You might think, oh, depression, it equals, you know, extreme sadness, right? Well, no. A lot of people get the misconception or the preconceived notion that when you're depressed, that means that you're really sad. But they don't really know what depression is. Actually or truly is. And on a bigger standpoint, that there's various types of depressions that, you know, people, whether men or women, can go through or deal with. So I'm using this platform to break those things down so that way we can be better equipped, and we can have those in our mental toolbox to identify those red flags either within ourselves or within our significant others or family members or anyone in your circle, right? So, without further ado, the very first type of sub-disorder of depression, which is disruptive mood dysregulation disorder. Some of the symptoms depicts continuous outbursts of verbal and or physical actions. It happens about 3 times a week. You can have feelings of sadness, or you can be moody or angry, just like the verbal and physical actions. And if this happened or has occurred more than a year, typically a psychologist or a psychiatrist would diagnose you with this. And I'm not saying that I'm diagnosing anybody with this. I'm just giving you the different types of depression and the different red flags that you can identify to say this is something similar. And you can talk to an actual licensed professional, right? Now, you can all get this from the DSM, which is a regulated guidebook for licensed therapists or counselors or psychologists or psychiatrists or doctors in general to, you know, classify and diagnose these disorders, right? The second one is going to be major depressive disorder. And this is basically clinical depression. So it stems from anxiety or melancholic features, catatonia, prepartum onset, psychotic features, or seasonal patterns. For example, that goes in for seasonal patterns. We're about to go up on Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas. These are kind of like the momentous family-oriented holidays. Now, depression could stem from you missing a loved one that may have passed away prior to these upcoming holidays, and you might be surrounded, or your family might be surrounded around this, and you might be still grieving or dealing with that. And you know, for me, I understand just the extreme loss, but sometimes we get that jolt, that reminder of this person's not here, and then we kind of retrograde back into grieving. But you know, to get more extensive into clinical depression or major depressive disorder, whichever terminology you would like to use, it can occur over a 2-week period. You can have symptoms of feeling hopelessness, sad, or numb. Like you can be completely desensitized through human emotion or actions. I know with a lot of service members that come from off of deployment, they have to get reacclimated back into all the high sensory things of society. And the thing is, we when we're deployed or downrange, all we know is work, sleep, eat. We do have human interaction, but it's so far and few in between as far as the norm or societal norm that when we come back, we're just like, okay, you know, we feel out of place, right? So sometimes we get a little desensitized or numb to that. And then we might get frustrated in regards to, you know, why am I feeling like this? Why am I acting like this? Or, you know, people might be saying that to you and it's like, nothing's wrong with me. What's wrong with you? Or why are you, you know, saying something's wrong with me? Like, but anyway, I digress. Another symptom from clinical depression is going to be decreased motivation for things that they like, such as hobbies or certain, you know, interests. You can have an increase or decrease in appetite, which results in either weight loss or weight gain. You can have changes in your sleep pattern where you might sleep too much, or you might not sleep that much or none at all. Not being able to concentrate, possibly due to those, you know, other previous symptoms that I've stated before, or just that in general, like you just can't get out of your own head, you know, to focus on the task at hand, or it takes you longer to do, you know, a minute or menial task or a rudimentary task. Another one could be forgetfulness, or it could be potential death. You can have suicidal thoughts when you're in this clinical depression. And once you notice kind of the certain trend that there's a frequency, a certain cycle or a time period where you have this disorder. But for this one, for clinical depression, it can, you know, it can span over a 2-week period or even longer than that. And that's kind of like the general symptoms that, you know, the classification of major depressive disorder or clinical depression. But moving along, the next one is going to be persistent depressive disorder, or what doctors or clinical physicians would say, dysthymia. It can happen every single day in adults for 2 years. Like you can be in the cycle for 2 straight years, every single day. Like that's insane, right? And this also, you know, with depression, it can happen to kids as well, or adolescents. and their time frame or time span or cycle would be one entire year, right? And that's scary. Like, you as a parent or maybe a sibling, you know, you're trying to work through the motions with this child or, you know, a cousin or, you know, younger sibling, and you just can't, you know, identify what exactly it is. And it can happen for an entire year, and then snap, they're back to normal. So this is all the more reason why we have to utilize our resources and educate ourselves onto these things, so that way we're not self-diagnosing, let alone giving the wrong diagnosis, not only to ourselves, but to our loved ones. Okay, so with persistent depressive disorder, you can have appetite change in sleep cycle, low energy, poor self-esteem, hopelessness, bad concentration, and lack of motivation and forgetfulness. Now, you might say, hey, persistent depressive disorder or dysthymia sounds real similar to clinical depression. But as I stated before, the thing that will get you is the title or the terminology, persistent, the persistent or consistency of that depression. So you're talking about, you know, clinical depression, you know, it might be 2 weeks. Persistent, you know, depressive disorder will be 2 years. So you can kind of see the extreme in that. You might think this person just have mood swings with clinical depression because it's only 2 weeks. You're like, man, they were in a funk and, oh, they feeling better now. All right, cool. Things back to normal. Bam. But with persistent depressive disorder, it's an extremely long and daunting time. And but you can fall into one classification and then bleed into another. So you could have clinical depression where it can, you know, be for 2 weeks, and then something life altering or something really affects you mentally, where the depression just keeps on going, and then you have persistent depressive disorder. Another one is going to be more geared to women, because it only happens to women, and that's going to be, you know, when women get on their periods. You know, the biggest misconception for gentlemen or men like myself, we kind of like read off our ladies when it's their lady time of the month, and we're just like, oh, you know, it's her just time of the month, that's why she's, you know, acting like this. But did you know when it's their time of the month that 3-8% of females suffer from premenstrual dysphonic disorder? And this is a, you know, form of depression that happens only during their cycle or their time of the month. And you might think that, oh, with the, you know, premenstrual cycle in regards to them releasing, you know, all the waste and stuff like that through the blood, that their typical symptoms are going to be the joint pain, the bloating, the weight gain, or mood swings. In all actuality, it could be them actually suffering from this disorder. Other symptoms that women will suffer from this will have anxiety, feeling tired or sluggish, insomnia, or excessive sleeping, mood swings, increased sensitivity, and hopelessness. And you might think, like, man, this whole time, you know, I'm thinking like, oh, you know, it's just their hormones. They're just all out of whack, you know, during this time, yada, yada, yada. And it's like, no, in all actuality, it could be that they're suffering from this disorder. Yet again, all the reason more to be educated and be self-equipped with these tools to understand and better your partner as well as yourself. And it might better your relationship. You never know. But I'm glad that I can get this out to you guys. Moving along, we have substance and medication-induced depressive disorder. Now, I know that self-medication is a big thing, especially with marijuana being legalized in several states. But aside from just marijuana, there's a big thing with pills or any other synthetic drugs. And of course, you know, with kids or teenagers that experiment with things, just being curious or even some, you know, young adults or, you know, mature adults, they might delve into these things to, you know, either counteract or balance or try to set a standard norm to deal with other, you know, issues or areas within their lives where it, in all actuality, the substance or the medication induce them or heighten the depressive disorder that they already may be suffering from or stemming from. But with this this specific disorder, you can have symptoms of irritability, depressive episodes where you're coming off of that high or you're getting on that high. You can have those episodes. You can have a bad temper due to the irritability or just the chemical reaction or imbalance within your body trying to self-regulate itself with these drugs that you're, you know, pumping into your body. Again, feeling hopelessness, no interest or pleasure in anything. So feeling numb or desensitized to things. And it usually occurs when these drugs or while you're doing them or during withdrawal, like I stated before. And that's the last of the disorders of depression. There may be a few more that I've didn't get into, but those are the five general ones that a lot of psychologists or psychiatrists, you know, pertain to or are immersed as far as what they would prescribe or diagnose you with. Now you might say, man, this is a lot of information, which is great. It might, you know, better help myself either understand or understand or recognize my red flags or someone else's. And it's like, okay, now I know, but I don't know how to still deal with it, right? It's like, all right, it's happening in front of me. I recognize it, but what am I supposed to do? So now that you have the ball in your court, now you have to say, how can I deal with it? Me personally, I deal with it by talking it out, right? And this is a form of therapy. It is called cognitive behavior talk therapy, or CBT for short. Cognitive therapy, goes, you know, hand in hand with other forms of therapy. Yoga is one, meditation, medication. If you do it with medication, please, I would highly suggest and advise that you go to a licensed psychiatrist or a psychologist before you self-medicate your own, whether it's with alcohol or any other type of drug. Reason being is because you don't want to, you know, create a very bad habit and it becomes a negative wellness lifestyle for you, right? And it will only make things worse. But how to deal with it, it's totally upon your discretion. After this episode, on my Instagram page, I will have various hotlines in regards to how it can walk you through or talk with you in needs of words of encouragement or endearment, just someone to talk to as far as confiding in, or the resources to get you to a specific therapist or counselor, all right? But if you have anybody in your corner that you know that loves you, or maybe you don't, please, I truly and highly insist that you still reach out, you know? And please, the people that know or recognize people that suffer from depression, I encourage you guys to just reach out, even if it's through text, or, you know, it could be, you know, just, hey, a quick call. Hey, man, I'm checking on you. Hey, lady, how's it going? You know, how are the kids? How's the family? How's the finances? You know, is there anything you want to talk about? You know, what are you dealing with, you know, on the mental? In my previous season, I always talked about a heat check. And that was a self-assessment and self-awareness in regards to, am I okay? Am I, you know, back to my norm, to the status quo? Am I at my center? And sometimes you need someone to kind of jostle you a bit, you know, grab you by the reins and say, hey, is you good? Are you okay? And sometimes we isolate ourselves and push people away. Keep that door open, because once that door is shut, sometimes that door can get stuck. Sometimes that door can disappear. Sometimes that door can be that roadblock. where you don't know where to go, where you're oriented. You could be left or right or up and down. And sometimes we get so frustrated and so angry at ourselves because we can't get out of it. And unfortunately, people end their lives with this disorder. So again, I encourage each and every one of you, if you know someone, or even if you don't know anyone, if there's any person out there that you care about dearly and truly and sincerely and genuine, I would just say, you know, take, you know, a few seconds and minutes out of your day to, you know, call, you know, text, leave a voice message. Just the hearing of someone's voice could do so much good. Even if it's just saying, hey, I'm so-and-so, I was just thinking of you, I hope everything's okay. You can call me at any time when you're ready or if you need to. That can do wonders, all right? Other forms of how to deal with depression or someone that's dealing with depression is anxiety management training or just general anxiety. Again, going to therapy, going to a counselor, highly encourage, you know, each and every one of you guys to do so. Getting back into your hobbies or interests. Yeah, you might not feel like being in the mood or not doing it at all. You'll do it tomorrow. No, you have the time to do it right here. There's no reason why you're sitting there wallowing in your self-pity, your self-doubt, your self-hate, just those negative thoughts. Do something. If you don't, you're going to be left to your own thoughts and the devices, and you don't know where you're going to go from there. And it's a scary, scary feeling. Okay? Another depression that I just remember is seasonal affective depression, or SAD for short. A big thing that can counteract that is light therapy. There's so many forms of therapy that you can utilize that's all around you, whether it's music, whether it's, you know, food if you like to cook, or work out if you need that physical touch, or just that jolt of energy where you're putting a strain on your body to kind of take your mind off of, you know, just depression in itself, right? But again, I highly encourage each and every one of you guys to either call a helpline or call a friend. Message a friend. You never know what it could do. It could save someone's life. All right? Because at the end of the day, we can always be someone's hero. And I just hope that with this episode and my message today, that I might have saved or helped someone. So without further ado, I want to thank all my listeners, my stashers, kings and queens out there. Once again, stay blessed. Stay positive, and I see you on the next episode. God bless. Bye.